Amen. Our children's church kids can exit the building now if you'd like. And while they're doing that, I'll say it's good to have, is that Marley or Mark? Huh? Polly? Oh, back here in the back. I see now. Okay, Mark. Good to have you with us. HD and Trish Dotson. Oh, over here. My peripheral vision is about gone. But I couldn't see a thing a few minutes ago. I don't know about y'all, but when it deals with kids, I get teary-eyed, and that's okay. And is that Musa? Masa? Masa? We're so glad to have you. Now, Masa is our neighbor. She lives right across the street. And, well, kind of over here on the corner. And I told her we would get to know her because she brought two beautiful children with her today. I got to meet the older one, but I didn't get to meet the baby. But you know that we will. The baby is in the nursery now, and the rest of them have gone to children's church. But we're so glad to have you all with us today, and we want you to make yourself at home. And we'll just worship. That's what we're here for, right? Amen. Yeah. God's good. Now, if y'all will bear with me, I'll try to preach fast. And if y'all will listen fast, you'll get out of here. But if you don't now, if you listen slow, you're in for a long afternoon, okay? And to save a little time, I know my... in the bulletin, it says that I'm going to read 13 verses. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to read the first 6 verses, and then we'll go from there, okay? Because I can fill you in with the story. You're going to know the story anyway if you've been in church for any time at all. And if you don't, we'll get together on it later. But I want to read the first 6 verses of Ruth chapter 1. So if you would... If you don't have your Bibles, you don't need them. We'll put the scripture up here on the board, and you can tell how things are going. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem of Judea went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now that's reading five verses. Are you already getting the picture? A lot happened in that length of time. A tremendous amount. And we couldn't go in to how it did this family that made this move. But it was huge for them. And I'm going to stop right there because that's where my message breaks off and I do the other half. So let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this scripture. Our God in heaven, we thank you for what you've done. This morning you have just blessed us, Lord, beyond measure, by reminding us of how important our children are to this church. And God, how important the people are who have a heart for children, who want to take care of children. We just thank you, God, for everything you've done here this day. And we praise you for all things and everything you're going to do from now on. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Elimelech was the wife of Naomi, but he was a backslider. Now, you say, well, it doesn't say that anywhere in there, preacher, that he's a backslider. Now, if you don't know what a backslider is, it's just a person who has known God but has gone his own way. And I'm going to connect this message, if I may, to last Sunday's message when the axe head came off. You remember that? Well, and we found out in that message that before it comes off the handle, the axe head gets loose. It does. And it begins to slip. And so what happened to Elimelech was, he was a child of God. He started slipping long before he ever left the country. So I'm kind of putting him in the category of the axe head that was slipping. Now, his axe head came off when he actually left the country and went to a country that God had instructed them not to go to. That's when the axe head left. But before it leaves, it had to start slipping, and that's what was happening. Now, the name Elimelech means "my God is king." But we know that the meaning of his name did not show what he did. And by the way, you may be a Christian today and you may say, I'm a Christian. I have asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior and I'm a Christian. But your life may not show that. That's where this is going. Elimelech's name was "my God is king," but he denied the sovereignty of God in his life when he actually left the country that God gave them. Now the promises of God, whether yours or Elimelech and his family, the promises of God are only good if you're inside the land. And that was true for him and his family. The promises that God had made them, they were good inside the land. But you see, he chose to take his family and leave and go to a country that God had said, don't go there. So in your life, you too have the promises of God. But some of the promises that you and I are blessed with and we enjoy, they're only good if we're in the land, if we stay where God wants us, if we're in His will. So outside the land, Elimelech was either a backslider or he was under the active judgment of God, and we'll see the active judgment of God in this story. So that's where he was. Now, I want to break it down in two, if I might. And I want to have the first part of this to show the move to misery. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see the title of this message is Misery to Restoration. There's a lot of things that happen in our life that are miserable to us. You become a miserable person, and a lot of that time, it's because if you're a Christian, you're outside the will of God. And when you get outside the will of God, you're miserable. Amen? You are. And that's how he gets us back to where we need to be. But in the land, they were blessed. They came from a blessed land and they were a blessed people. And the famine that he mentions in this scripture, the famine was because they had already sinned. And God says, I'm going to judge your sin. He always does. And he always will. That's never going to change. So what had happened here was the famine was the judgment of God on their sin. Now, if they had just taken their whipping. And that's what a judgment is, you know. That's God getting our attention. Do your parents ever have to get your attention, or did your parents ever have to get your attention by saying, I'm going to... Yeah, okay. We know how that gets our attention, right? Well, I didn't leave my dad and mom when they disciplined me and got my attention. For one thing, I didn't have anywhere else to go. Nobody would have me anyway. But I didn't do that. But I knew my dad and mom loved me. That's one reason why I would not have left anyway. I love my dad and mom, and I knew they loved me. Even when my dad was disciplining me and whipping me, I knew he loved me. And if they had only known that God loved them too, even though he was brought a famine on them, he loved them, and he was going to take care of them. But they got ahead of God. Amalek did anyway, and he took off. They just should have received the judgment that God had for them and waited on an act of love that God could show them that he still loved them. Now, what looked like to the people around him, what looked like that he cared for his family when he left, because, see, there wasn't anything to eat around there at the time. So he was going to go to a country where he could feed his family. And that all sounded good, didn't it? But it wasn't. It wasn't. He didn't have to go to Moab. He could have went to one of the Israelite countries right next to Moab. There were areas there where there was food, just like there was at Moab. But he looked like he was doing the right thing, but all the time he was bringing a curse down on his family. The famine was one thing, but what happened to him when he went down into Moab was a totally different thing. Then when they got down there, you know, sometimes we wander from our country and we go to another country, but we're not going to stay there. And y'all know I'm not talking about a country, right? Sometimes we stray from where God has us, but we don't stay where we're not supposed to be. But in this case, the Bible says they moved in Moab, and they stayed. They continued to be there. So when that happened, things begin to happen in a miserable way. And here's what happened. When misery set in, isn't that a terrible phrase? I mean, it's one thing to have a little misery in your life, and we've all had a little misery, haven't we? But, you know, it's not all bad to have a little misery. It teaches us what it is not to have it. And we appreciate the times of the blessings. But in this case here, misery had set in. Well, the first thing that happened when misery set in, this woman lost her husband. He died. That's not good. So now, she is a single mother in a country where God did not want them, raising two boys. That's misery. She was a miserable woman because now she doesn't have the man who makes decisions, and that's what they did at that time. And I know that's not always the way it is now, but it was then, and he would make all the decisions. Well, she's down there in this country with her boys, and she's now having to make all the decisions. So she's a miserable woman. She is really miserable. But you see, when misery sets in, misery doesn't stop. One thing after another is going to happen. She had two children. Well, according to the Bible, their two names would dictate to us that they weren't healthy children anyway. But when they got down there, they both died. Now, that's a miserable thing for a mother. Not only did she lose her husband, now she's lost her two children. Now she is left with two daughters-in-law. Now, that could or could not be good. But in this case, she loved her daughters-in-law and they loved her. That sounds good, but remember, they're still in a country where they should not be. So sometimes we can pull out the little tidbits that make it sound like our life is okay. Just because she loved her daughters-in-law and her daughters-in-law loved her, that didn't make her life okay. She wasn't a happy camper because she wasn't where she needed to be. And after her two sons died, then there she was, other than having these two daughters-in-law, which were not of her people. They were not of her people. So according to the Bible, they weren't supposed to be in Moab. And these two daughters-in-law were children of the Moab tribe. So she shouldn't have been there. Well, here's what happened. This woman in this total case of misery, something happened to her. And here's what it was. And this is where you will or should find your place also. Here's what the Bible says. Then she arose. After her husband's died, her two sons have died, and she has looked at her situation down there. Her memory started going back to the land where she was from, where God had given them and blessed them. And so she thinks back. Now there's nothing to keep her there. So the Bible says that she rose up. One of the most blessed days you'll ever have is if you're in a miserable situation where you're outside the will of God, will be the day when you see that there's nothing that's holding you where you are, and that you do have a desire to get back to where God had you in the first place, the place where you're blessed. And that's what happened to her. The Bible says, and she arose. And the reason she arose was that she might return. That was her whole reason. If your reason is not to return where God had you in the first place, then don't rise up, because you'll just go somewhere else where God doesn't want you anyway. So, but she knew where she needed to go and wanted to go. So she rose up that she might return from where she is not supposed to be to where God intended for her all along. When she left the country before to go to Moab, her name was Naomi. Now, Naomi means pleasant. When she returned from where she was back to her land, her name was changed to Mara. Now, Mara is the name that means bitter. She was bitter. She was bitter because of the position that her husband had put her and her family in. She was a bitter woman. She had lived in misery for a long time. And by the way, living in a miserable situation will cause you to be bitter. So when she went back home, her name was Bitter. I'll share that with you because I didn't read it. In verse 20 it says, and she said to them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. That's what happens to the person whose axe head is slipping and you're going away from where God has placed you. What's happening is you're going from full to empty. That doesn't make sense, does it? No one wants to go from full to empty. If my life is full, do I want an empty life? No, but you see, when Satan gets involved in this thing and he wants to control your life and he wants to keep you there, you'll make excuses why you want to be on the miserable side. You will. We do that, folks. We do it. So she said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? She was just facing the position she was in. She's very honest about it. And until we get honest that our life is miserable outside the will of God, we won't actually head back home. We won't do that. And she had to say, God, forgive me and my family for being where we ought not to have been. I want to go back home and I want to enjoy the blessings. So here she begins to go back. She was ready to face whatever she had to get back to the place of blessing. And you might be in a position where that if you make that change to go back where you need to be, that it's going to change some things in your life that you're thinking, well, I can't do that. I can't change that. I've not been back home in so long that would just create problems. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it creates problems in your life or someone else's life at the time. You need to get back where you need to be. Let God deal with you then, because you see, restoration is not an instant thing. Restoration is a time-consuming thing. He'll take your life a little bit at a time and restore you. He'll restore you to where you used to be. That's what restoration is. He'll restore you to where you were when you actually walked away from Him and went into a place where you didn't have to go. So her testimony was really sad. It really was. And most of our testimonies when we've been where we ought not to have been is a sad testimony. In fact, we don't want to give it. We don't want to give the testimony because it creates such memories that it causes pain and hurt, and it might be in your own heart or someone else's heart. It doesn't make any difference. You got to get back to where you need to be. And her testimony was really, really sad because of what happened to her. But she was on her way back to restoration. And when you're on your way back home, it's going to be easier for you to say, I don't care if it creates a pain in my heart. I don't care if it creates pain in my life. I'm going back home. I'm getting back to where God was blessing my life and where I could be a blessing to someone else. So she's heading back. And so she told her two, if you want to know how far back she had gone since they moved down there, she told her two daughters-in-law, and you would never tell your daughters-in-law. If you were a Christian and your two daughters-in-law came from atheist families where they never knew anything about the love of God, the grace of God, being saved by grace through faith, maybe they didn't know anything. And so you're not going to tell them. Now, you just stay where you are, because that's where you need to be. Maybe even there you'll find you a husband someday. Well, you wouldn't tell your daughters-in-law where their husbands had just died to stay in an area where they might get someone who would be terrible for them, who wouldn't bring them up to know God. You wouldn't do that, but that's what she did. She said, y'all just stay back down there. You don't have to go with me. I know you love me, and I love you, but you just stay down here because you're more apt to get married, remarried down here if you're marrying the folks of Moab. If she'd been trying to tell people you belong here, she wouldn't have been doing that, would she? And it's not about belonging at Liberty Fellowship Church, folks, even though I love our church. It's not about belonging here. It's about belonging in the church of the living God. That we want to bring folks to know Jesus. That's what we really want to do. So that's what she should have been trying to bring them up to, where they would know God also, but that wasn't where she was doing. She was saying, oh, maybe you'll find you another man somewhere else. Isn't that the shame of this whole thing? Is that that's all that was on their mind was maybe you'll get you another man, you'll remarry and you'll have it good down there. He'll have a good job and everything will be going good. You see, when you do that, you leave out the relationship that makes you happy, and that is your relationship with God. So she was a miserable person, and she had a miserable testimony, but she was on her way back to restoration. And God blessed her, and I don't have the time to go into this whole story, but when she was talking to her two daughters-in-law, she said, y'all can stay back there. One of them did go back, we remember. She just took off, and she got the big idea. She would find her a man down there with a good job, and everything would be good down in Moab, but not Ruth. Y'all know the story of Ruth. Ruth is a story we have wallowed in for years and years, and it's a great, great love story. And in fact, I've used it at weddings sometimes, what she said to Naomi. She said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. You're not going to push me back down there. And there was a reason behind that. It wasn't just that Ruth wanted to go for any reason of her own. God was in this. And when you study the relationship with God to Ruth, Jesus Christ to Ruth, then you understand why she wouldn't go back. She said, I'm not leaving you. I'm going to stick with you. I'm here till the death. That's how strong she was. Well, now, in her restoration, this was like the icing on the cake. She was not only bringing her life back together with all the people she had lived with before, She now gave her a daughter-in-law that loved her in a different light than she did down in Moab. Down in Moab, she loved her because she had her son. Her son was her husband. But now that's changing. She is now where she needs to be with her, and she's going back to be a part of the God that Naomi knew. And I know that she picked up on some stuff in Naomi's life, and she wanted to make this woman who had become so miserable down there in Moab, she wanted to know this God who had touched her life for so many years before she ever got down there. So, moving from this place where she was not supposed to be, where she was totally miserable, God did something for her when she turned back home. He gave her a daughter-in-law that would influence her life even more as the years went on. Naomi was going to influence her and had influenced her, but now Ruth was going to influence her. Does anybody remember who Ruth met in the wheat field? Everybody knows the story of Ruth and Boaz. When Boaz came out and saw Ruth, and don't you know that God was in this whole thing? He was in the whole thing from her coming back from Moab and making herself a part of these folks. When she was out there gleaning in the field, and all they were allowed to pick up was what was dropped and left, you know. And Boaz came out and he said now to the workers that were in the field, he said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to leave her handfuls on purpose. Handfuls on purpose. I want you to be a blessing to her. Because he knew something. God had given him an insight to this thing. So you see, you can go from miserable to being restored. Now I don't know if there's anybody in here today who is miserable in the life that you're in. And I'm talking about outside the will of God. I'm not talking about any health issues you might have or anything like that. We're dealing with those. As human beings, we're dealing with those. But if we have stepped outside the lines that God has placed us in, and we're a miserable person if we have, then I'm here to tell you that you can get back to where you can be restored. You can. You can be back where your life is blessed. But you got to leave. You got to leave where you are and go back. You can't get your blessings by text. You can't get your blessings by email. You can't. It's got to be a personal relationship between you and God. It's got to be something very personal between you and God. So when she rose up and headed back home, things become more personal with her. And then we know the story of when she got back. But then she was restored. She was back where her, can you imagine how the people were when they came, read the whole story, when the people saw that she was back, they remembered her, the old timers, you know, and they just come and hugged her neck and loved her back into the fold. Don't you know that's what happens in a church family like this? You don't have to worry about that. You'll get the biggest hug you ever had. You will. Because you see, this family loves each other. But it's more than just this church family. It's the family of God. We belong, first of all, to the family of God. Then we become members of Liberty Fellowship Church. Let's get back where we need to be, the place of blessing. If we're going to invite folks in September to Liberty Fellowship, we got to be a blessed people. You see, people want to go where people are blessed. And they want to know where they go that the people know they're blessed. Don't you know you're blessed? If you're in the will of God, you're a blessed individual. I'm telling you, you're blessed. And He wants to keep us where we need to be. So we can go from miserable to restored. Let's bow our heads. Now, there may be somebody in here this morning who there's some situations in your life that has caused your life to be miserable. I don't know. I can tell you this, that we'll be praying for you. But if you need to make a move today and come back home to where He can bless your life again, do that this morning. It's a very simple thing. You make the decision, and if you want to make that decision by coming to the front and letting the church know that you've made that decision, that would be a source of strength for you and the church. But if you don't, that's okay. But if you'd like for me to talk with you at any time, please get with me, and I'll be glad to talk with you about your situation. God in heaven, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for what you've already done, how you've blessed our hearts today because of our children. Lord, because of all those workers that are involved with our children. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to give us a heart for each other, and especially a heart for children. Because Lord, we know that the sooner we reach our children for Jesus Christ, the better off we're going to be. And so we're going to praise you for everything you've already done here this morning and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please. And we're going to sing a verse of what song, Tom? Oh, I want.